Teisha in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara above the Metzia, Daf Mem Beis. We begin at the very top, very first line, very first word, Mem Beis and Aleph with the brand new Mishnah. We continue to learn every day for the safety and success of Tzahal. They should be successful in bringing back the Chatufim. And in Be'etz Hashem, all those who require Refuah Shleimah should have one B'meheira. In Be'etz Hashem, there should be Shalom and all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, pick up very top of Mem Beis and Aleph with the new Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Hamafkid Mos Eitzel Chaveiro. If Reuven gives Shimon money to hold for him, Sroran, and Shimon goes and bundles it up. He puts it in some sort of a container, a sack, the Hifshilin Liachorov, and he throws it over his shoulder. In other words, the money in his sack is behind him, behind his back. Or, O Shimisorum Livno Ulevito Akhtanim, or he gave it over to his younger son or daughter who are Akhtanim, below the age of Bar and Bas Mitzvah, so by definition, Lav Ebar Das. We'll see that both of these types of watching are not considered adequate watching. Now, the Gersa that we have is Vinal Bifneim Shelo Kiroi. And Rashi, when we had this Mishnah brought down earlier on Daf Lamed Vav, explained that this was, he then, the child, the boy or girl who's under the age of Bar Bar Mitzvah, didn't close the door behind them properly. In other words, there wasn't an adequate locking up of the item. So he gave it to the young child below the age of Bar Bar Mitzvah to go and watch this money bag. And instead, they put it in the house, but they didn't lock the door properly behind it. That's the gear that Rashi had. The gear says, you see on the side, it brings down the riff and the rush. So it says there that, oh, Vinal Bifneim Shel Koroi, or he himself, he put the money inside his house, but he didn't lock the door properly. In all of these situations, this Shomer didn't do a good job of watching, and therefore Chayiv. If there's Gneva Aveda, this is called Pshia. This is negligence on his part. He slunk it behind his back. We'll explain what's the problem with that. He gave it to a child who's not a Bar Das, and or the door wasn't locked properly, so anybody could just walk in and take the money. So this is not considered a good shmira, it's negligence. And therefore, even though he's a shomer chinam, he's chayav for gneva the aveda. Now, the Mishnah continues and says, because, as I just said, shalosh shimer ki derech hashomer, he didn't watch it properly. And this will be critical, because what is considered a proper shmira, the Gemara will discuss to a certain extent, but a lot of it is dependent upon the time and the situation. However, the Mishnah tells us, v'im shimer kiderech ha-shomer, but if he did an adequate watching, so then he's not posheya, so the shomer chinam is going to be potter for gneva v'aveda, and that's what the Mishnah tells us, he would be potter. Now, Gemara starts off and says, we understand, bishlama kulu, we understand that if he gave it to a lav bar das, or he didn't lock the door, shalosh shimer kiderech ha-shomer. That was simple to understand, that's not considered a good shmira. However, when he slung it over his shoulders, elet sroren v'if shilon li'achorev, imagine Dennis the Menace running away from home with a stick on his shoulder and the little package of items behind his back. Why is that not considered a good shmira? Elitzron vivshilon liachorov, my havale lemevat. What could he have done? He has to carry it around with him. So what's wrong with tossing it over his shoulder in a package? So the Gemara says, Omer Rav, Omer Rav Yitzchak. Rav is the name of Rav Yitzchak because the pasuk tells us, you have to hold the money in your hand. And this is talking about when you're bringing up your mice chain into your shalayim. So we learn out many drashas from there that it has to be a kesef with a tzura to go and redeem mice chain. You have to have a coin that has a picture on it. You can't have a slug. You can't have an asimon. So therefore, that's the drasha that we were familiar with learning this pasuk. But it also teaches us now the drasha biyodicha. It means, even though it's mitzarta kesef, even though the money is bundled up, nevertheless, you, biyodcho, has to be in front of you. It has to be in your hands. And when you sling it over your shoulder, somebody could easily come up and pickpocket you. Somebody could easily come and take it from you. And that's why it's not considered an adequate shmira. Furthermore, Yomer Rav Yitzchak, another statement that was made by Rav Yitzchak, the first one, Rav had said the name of Rav Yitzchak, here we have Rav Yitzchak directly himself saying, Ma'olam ye kasbo shel odom motzo biyodo. He's giving us good financial advice. Have your money ready in front of you. Have your money in your hand because of this pasuk. He's teaching us good financial advice. A person should go have his money ready to go and do with it whatever he may need to do. And he further gives us financial advice. Rav Yitzchak, liolum yashlev odem es mosav. Person, in order to make sure that he doesn't put all his money in one pot and could lose all his money, so he says you should divide up your wealth into three portions. The first portion should be shlish bikarka. Now the first pshat in the Maharsha is that means you should bury it in the ground. But the more accepted pshat over here is from the Maharsha is the second pshat that you go buy real estate. So with 1/3 of your money, go buy real estate. Shlish bikarka. Now, Second, third, the shlish, the frakmacha, go and buy business. Don't go business with your property. Let it make money for you. Karka is also a form of making money for you, but it's a slower type of making money. When you sell something or buy something, you can make a killing right away. You can make a very nice profit. So it's also risky, of course, but that's why you only put a third into this. So a third you do with business, with various things that you buy and sell. And then the third, ushlish takas yado. The other third should be ready, fluid cash. So you put it into your hands that you can go and use this. If a great business opportunity comes up, you'll be right there and able to do so. Sometimes an opportunity comes up, but the guy's not liquid. He doesn't have his money in an easily accessible way. It's all tied up in all sorts of ventures, and he can't use it right away. So keep a third ready, fluid cash. Put a third into real estate and a third into business. This is what Rav Yitzchok recommends. It's not halacha. This is his recommendation in order for a person to make sure that he's financially sound. Even if something bad happens to one part of his wealth, he'll have the other parts of the wealth to make up for it. Another member from Rav Yitzchok, Yom Rav Yitzchok, Ein habracha mitzuya ela bedavar hasamui min ha'ayin. When things aren't in the open, when things aren't being counted all the time, when things are left, so to say, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make nisim for you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do wonderful things for you. But if the guy is counting, I got $100 here, I got $102 over here, I got $104 over here, he's constantly counting his money. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't go and make nisim gluyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make miracles. So that money's going to stay there. It is $104. He's not going to make it suddenly be $1,004. Because a person puts it away, it's hidden away from the eye. So then, Shinema, as the pasuk tells us, Yitzav Hashem Itcho Es HaBracha Ba'asomecha, and this is a play on the word ba'asomecha. Asomecha really means in your silos, and this is in the Tochacha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, before the Tochacha, in the part where it says, if you do good, so if you listen to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends blessing to your silos, ba'asomecha. However, there's a play on the word ba'asomecha to be somoy min ayin, hidden away. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give bracha on things that are hidden away. If you constantly count your money, so then that money will not have the same blessing as the person just puts it away on the side and doesn't count it all the time. So then there'll be more blessing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Similarly, to this drasha from Rav Yitzchok, Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, a brisa supports this. In the Beis Medrash Rabbi Shmuel, they learn the following brisa: Ein habracha mitzuya ela bedavish ein ha'ayin sholetes bo. Marashah explains this is exactly the same drasha as Rav Yitzchok, but he dashes it from a different pasuk. So the only difference between these two is mashmos drashos. Do we dashen it this way or do we dashen it that way? But the bottom line is exactly the same. And he uses the same pasuk from the Tochacha, the pre-Tochacha, where he says, "B'dover she'ein ha'ayin sholetzbo," something that the eye isn't looking upon, as opposed to hidden away. So he dashes the word ba'asamecha different than Rav Yitzchok. Rav Yitzchok said it was somim in ha'ayin, and he dashes it as something that the eye can't see. So, Shenema, Yitzav Hashem Itcho Es HaBracha Ba'asomecha. So again, it's a very similar drasha to Marisha, says just a slight difference on what you dash in the word Ba'asomecha to be. We're continuing with the following b'risa, Tana Rabbanan. We learn the following b'risa, Haholich Lomud Es Gorno. When a person goes to measure out, he has to go and measure at some point how much grain he has in the silo. He has to sell it to people. He has to tell them, listen, there's 100 bushels, there's 200 bushels. So he goes out to measure what he has in the silo. So he says, he says a tchina to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a supplication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before he goes and measures it out. Omer, and he says, Yiratzom Fenech Shem Okem, it should be your will, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shetishlach Beracha B'maaseh Yadenu, that you should put a blessing in our hands. In other words, you don't know yet how much is there. So it's not a tefillah shav to say, I hope it's a bountiful crop. You know, looks to me like there's 100. It turns out there's 150 over there. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let there be bracha over here. Shetishlach bracha b'maasi yodeinu. Once he actually starts to count, this was the hirotz, you say, before you actually count, his chulam, when he actually goes to actually count out how much grain he hasn't yet counted it out, but he's just beginning to do so. So then you actually make a bracha with Shem Umalchus to before Hashem explained, because here you're doing it to calculate your trumas and maestros, and therefore you're now doing a mitzvah, so you make a bracha, and you say, Omer Baruch, which means, of course, Baruch Ato Hashem Lekenu Mechalam, HaSholeach Bracha Bakri Hazeh, that you should bestow bracha, blessing, on this pile of grain. So before, it was really a tchina, a supplication, the yiratzon. Here it's an actual bracha, because you're about to do the mitzvah, taking off trumas and maizos. You make a separate bracha when you actually are mafrish trumas and maizos, but here, since the person is about to go and do the mitzvah, to count up how much he has to take off trumas and maizos, so the Gemara says he makes a bracha over here. Again, this is a bracha that we're not used to making. However, Mordad, once he's actually measured out, I got 150 bushels over here, then he wants to make the bracha of Yachakach Birut, that's a bracha Luvatola. Zeharez Atulashah, that is a prayer that you're not allowed to go and make. It's a false prayer. You're asking Hashem to make it into 200. It's 150. Hashem doesn't make nisim. You're basically asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make a nase, and you're not allowed to daven that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should make a nase. Lefish Ein HaBracha Mitzuya, because the reason why you can't do this is because the bracha will not be found. You can't ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make a nase goli, lo bedover HaShokul, if it's already been weighed out. It weighs 2 tons. You can't ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make it 3 tons. That's asking for a nase goli. And lo bedover HaMadon, if it's something that isn't measured, you have, yard over here. It's a bolt of yarn. It's 100 yards by 100 yards. So the lo bedover HaMadon, you can't go and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make it 200 by 200. The lo bedover HaMadon, and that's something that's counted. You have, 35 bushels over here of food. So you can't go and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, go and make this to be 50 bushels. So you can't do this with something that's been weighed. It weighs 2 tons. It weighs X amount, or something that's been measured. It's a certain dimensions, or something that's a certain number over here. You can't go and ask a Kodesh Baruch Hu to go and increase that. That's a tefillas shav. What can you ask a Kodesh Baruch Hu to do? You can make these yiratzons. You can make the bracha. Ela b'davar samyunayin, something that has not yet been identified how much it is. Oh, that's based upon the pasuk that we just brought down. Shenema yitzav hashem itcho esav bracha ba'asomecha. The way the different ways of darshan ba'asomecha, that tells us HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give you a bracha on something that you don't know the exact amount that it is yet. Amish Shmuel says furthermore, how do we properly wax something? He says money kisofim ein lem shmira. The only way to really properly watch money, protect money from being stolen, el b'karka. You got to bury it in the ground. This was better. They didn't have banks in those days. If they did, the banks weren't as secure. So therefore, you need to go and bury the money in the ground. If you're a Shomer Chinam, that's considered a proper, adequate type of Shmira. And the Imlo Shomron, if you don't do this, Rashi says, the Nignivu, and it's stolen, then it's considered Pshiyahi. This is considered negligence. This is the standard, even for a Shomer Chinam, to go and bury it in the ground. That's what Shmuel said. Amar Rava, Rava says, however, Umodi Shmuel, even Shmuel agrees that if you're given the money on Erev Shabbos, Bein HaShmashos, you're given the money right before Shabbos starts. Erev Bein HaShmashos over here doesn't mean actually during the twilight period of time, because then it's already, Safek is a Shabbos, and Safek is a weekday, and you're not allowed to do Malach, you wouldn't be allowed to dig up a hole in the ground to put it in there. So it means, in this situation, Bein HaShmashos means right next to Shabbos. In other words, it's about to become Shkia, and you're going to get this money now. You don't have time to bury it. So, delo atruchu rabbanon. In this situation, for this Shabbos, the rabbis would accept that you put it away in a corner someplace. You didn't bury it in the ground because there was no time. But once it's Motzei Shabbos, you have to go and bury it as soon as you can. Therefore, the Ishal Motzei Shabbos, if you waited, once Shabbos is over, shir l'mikbarinu, it takes you, let's say, a half an hour to go bury the money, dig the hole and bury the money. So now it's a half an hour after Shabbos is over and you still haven't done it. And now a ganav comes, the lo kavrinu, and you hadn't buried it, then you're mechayev. Then, at this point in time, it is considered pshiyah that you didn't go and bury it. With one exception to this, Rava says as well, the tzurva mirabbananu, if the person lends you money, however, is a talmud chacham, he's tzurvim rabbanan. Rashi says, Hamavkid shu chored al hamitzvos. The one who is giving you this money is careful, diligent, very, very punctilious about doing the mitzvos. Specifically, chored al mitzvos havdala al hakos. He specifically wants to do havdala on wine, and wine was not as plentiful. People didn't have, a case of wine in their house. So they'd have to go maybe get a cup of wine to purchase a cup of wine, Matzi Shabbos, to get some wine, Matzi Shabbos. So he needs ready cash. So if you know that this person who deposited the money to you might need this money to make Havdalah, to go buy wine for making Havdalah, so then you wouldn't be held accountable for not bearing it right away, Matzi Shabbos, because you're keeping it for the benefit of the owner, and you're assuming that's why he gave it to you, to watch it, but not to bury it right away. Oh, once you see that he's made Havdalah, then you have an obligation to go and bury it. Furthermore, via Idna, the Gemara says, nowadays, the Shchiche Gishushoi. Nowadays, you have these Gishushoi. Rashi says, these are people that Megashishkin Bekarka Bishpudin Shobarzo. These are people that go take metal detectors. They go and take sticks and they stick them into the ground. Lahakimokom Shetachtov Chalol. And they can go and tell, oh, this place had recently been dug up. There must be money over here. So nowadays that you have the method of putting the money into the ground, not being a good safekeeping anymore, Elam Shmira Ela Bishmei Korah. So then the proper way for a Shomer to go and watch this money is to put it up in the beams of his house. Where it says, and nowadays, once the people no longer started hiding in the ground, so they put it in the beams, so the Ganovim got used to this. And the Shlichei Prumoi, and nowadays there are these Prumoi, Rashi says, Shovri Atikra. These are people that can go and percuss out exactly where the money is. So they're going to break the beams and get your money. So then that's also not considered a good Shmir anymore. As we pointed out from the Mishnah, you have to do the Shmir that's Kiderech HaShomer. If you do what is considered a standard good Shmir for a Shomer Chinam, that's what you're required to do. But no longer is now putting it in the Shmei Korah, in the beams, considered a good watching. Elam Shmira Ella Beine Urbe. So nowadays, the Gemara says, you have to go and put it Bein Shuros Habinyon Bekosel. So they have rows of bricks. So you put it in between the rows of bricks. And Amar Rava, Rava says, and furthermore, Umo the Shmuel agrees that it would also be acceptable to place it Bekosel into the wall. That's also considered a good Shmira. Now, we have a girsa here where it says on the side that we shouldn't be goris this. The Marshal takes it away. But Inami Ben HaKronos, he says to go and put it into a corner. In other words, according to this version, which the Marshal deletes, this would be an acceptable place to hide it as well, in the corners. Bottom line is, the Gemara says, nowadays this methodology is also no good. But Idno the Shlichei Tifuchai. Nowadays you have people, there'll be metapkim bekosel leida imei shom hollow. There'll be people that'll percuss out, they'll tap out on the wall to see if it's hollow, right? When you want to go nail something into the wall, so you want to know, are you nailing it into a beam or you're nailing it into a hollow space? Are you going to nail it into something that will break the wall or not? So you percuss it out, you tap it out, and you see the sound when you tap. This is in medicine the same way. You tap on somebody's lungs, you tap on somebody's belly to go and see what's behind it with your fingers. You can tap it out and listen to the sound. It's called percussion. So nowadays you have people that are expert at this and will be able to find where you hid the money. So therefore, that's not a good shmira. So therefore, ein lem shmira, the only good shmira nowadays with all of these people that are ganavim, that are expert at finding your money, ella betefach hasomuch lekarka or betefach hasomuch shmei korah. The only places we won't be able to tap it out, we won't be able to percuss it out, is in the very top of the wall, which is right near the ceiling, or the very bottom, which is right near the karka. There, the percussion will not work so well because the beam on the top or the floor on the bottom will dull the sound no matter what. Okay, bottom line is, the Gemara is telling us you have to do what is considered an adequate shmira based upon the time, based upon the place, and based upon the circumstances. Furthermore, Amalei Rav Acha, Bereder Rav Yosef, Rav Ashi. Rav Acha was the son of Rav Yosef, said to Rav Ashi. We learned in the following Mishnah, this is a Mishnah Pesachim, Hos from Tanan. We learned there in the Mishnah Pesachim, very appropriate Erev Pesach, coming up on Pesach, of course, Chomet Shenoflo Olav Mapolas. If a person has Chomet, and unfortunately his building fell down, the place where he was storing it fell down, and now it's underneath a pile of rubble. Harehu Kibavur. So the Mishnah Pesachim tells us that is considered as if it already has beer Chomet. It's in accessible. You can't go and get it. It's under a pile of rubble. And therefore, there is no concern that you're going to get to this chametz in the middle of Pesach. You simply can't. And therefore, you're not over by your rabbi, your matzah, and you're not over not getting rid of your chametz. That's the opinion of Tanakama. Rishim Gleil Omer, Kol She'en HaKelev Yochol L'Chapes Achrov. He says, it has to be deep enough. There has to be enough rubble there that a dog won't be able to dig it out. If a dog could dig it out, dog will smell it, dog will dig it out. So then it's not considered mivur. It's not considered that it's destroyed because it's accessible to the dog. And maybe your dog will get it, he'll bring it to you, and you'll have chametz in your possession. Furthermore, how deep is this kol she'ein hakelev yochel chapis harav? So the Tana, we learned in another brisa, kamo chafis es hakelev gimel tvachim. How deep is it that it has to be that the dog will no longer be able to dig it out easily? Three tvachim. Three tvachim is about, a tefach is about 3.5 to 4 inches, so it's roughly a foot. So if it's a foot deep into the ground, it's underneath that much rubble, the dog's not going to easily dig it out. No, the Gemara says, is this true by the Shmira? When Shmuel originally told us you have to go bury the money in the ground, that's before the people would go and stick the metal spits into the ground to try to figure out where it was hollow. So in the days where it was appropriate to go and bury it in the ground, so does this rule of three tefachim apply by Pesach and also to money or not? So that's the question that was asked. Hachamai, in regards to the money, mi bo'in shlosh tefachim olo, when you have to bury the money in the ground, do you have to bury it at least three tefachim? Or is it, no, if you cover it up, that would be adequate. So that was the question that Rav Acha asked to Rav Ashi. So Amalei, so Rav Ashi says back to Rav Acha, the reason why the chametz has to be three tefachim at least, because the smell of the item, the dog's going to sniff it out. But you know, gimel tvachim. That's why you need to bury three tvachim, so the ground will cover it up, and the dog won't be able to sniff it out. However, here with the money, it's not somebody sniffing out the money. It just has to be not visible to the eye. So hacham yishum ikasuye ne'ena. It just has to be covered up from the eye. So you don't need three tvachim. You only need one tefach. Lo binim gimel tvachim. You don't need three tvachim. Nu, how much do you need? So omar rafra misichra tefach. Just one tefach is enough. This way, if you put it in just a quarter of a tefach, there's loose dirt there. You may see a piece of the coin shining coming through the dirt. You put it in one tefach deep. That's enough to keep it shomim in the eye. It's hidden from the eye. And you don't have to worry about smelling it. So therefore, you don't need the three tvachim. Okay. Now we have a couple of maaser shohayas in terms of scenarios where people did certain things, and was that considered an adequate shmirah? How gavra, the once was a man, Ruvain, the afkid zuze gabi chavri, and he gave money to Shimon, his friend. Ozvinu bitzrifa durbani, and Shimon put it into something like a TP. Tzrifa durbani, Rashi tells us, is bayis katan ogul. It's a round type of a house, kimo kova, like a cap. Shosin sayade ofos, that the bird trappers would go and put it there, la'arov, to go and trap the birds. So this TP-like structure was where the guy put the money. And then the money was stolen from this TP-like structure, Igdo. Now, is a TP-like structure considered a valid safekeeping for this money? So, that was the Maisa Shahaya. So, I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef was asked the Pasuk the Shaila, and he said, Apogav, he says, even though Dilinyan Gane, in regards to Ganovim, putting it in the hut is considered an adequate Shmira, Netirusi, because, as Rashi points out, the Ganavim don't expect there to be money over there. And therefore, in regards to theft, it's considered a good type of a shmira. See, afilu b'lokfur, Rashi says that even Rav Yosef is saying, he just put it in the hut. He didn't bury it in the hut. She'en Ganavim holchem shom l'gno, because Ganavim don't assume that the bird trappers are rich and that they have lots of money there. She'en mamu matzi shom. So therefore, that's why it's considered a good shmira, because Ganavim don't expect there to be money there. And therefore, it's considered a good shmira in regards to the money. However, linya nura, in regards to a fire, these are reed type of structures that will be extremely flammable. So it's pshiusahi in regards to fire. So therefore, this is not considered a good shmira in regards to fire, albeit it's a good shmira in regards to theft. So therefore, since the person put it in a place where it is negligence from the beginning in regards to fire, albeit this sofo bionis, ultimately it wasn't a fire that destroyed it. It was a gana that came unexpectedly, surprisingly, and stole it. So the eventual geneva was an onus, and the shomer chinam would be potter for an onus. Nevertheless, here you chayev, because tchiloso b'pshia, once you were inappropriately watching it from the beginning, boom, you're now going to be obligated no matter what happens to it. So Rashi says, the Shomer Chinam is no longer considered an onus in this regard. He is chayav because of his initial pshia. That's the opinion of Yosef. Others disagree. Vika the Amre, others say that Rav Yosef said as follows, even though in regards to the fire, as we pointed out, this is a highly flammable reed structure, so yes, in regards to the fire, it's considered pshia. But l'inyan ganvei netirusahi. But in regards to ganavim, this was considered an adequate shmira because the ganavim don't expect there to be money there, and they're not going to go steal from there. So this is a kid situation according to this version of Rav Yosef. Utchilaso b'pshia v'sof b'yonis potter. This is machlokas we had previously. How do we treat somebody who was negligent up front, but the ultimate loss of the item, whether it was stolen or whether there was some other sort of a loss to it, so that was onus. So the Shomer Chinam is chayev of pshia, but he's part of onus, and ultimately it was an onus that caused this destruction. So this version of Rav Yosef says you're part of. So we have two versions of Rav Yosef. One says tchilas of pshia of self of onus is chayev. One says tchilas of pshia of self of onus is part of. And Hilchos of Gemara says we paskin tchilas of pshia of self of onus is chayev. So the first version is the correct version of Rav Yosef. That's the halacha. Another ma'aser show you. How Gavra, the once was a man, Ruvain, the afkid zuze gabe chavre. He gives over his money to Shimon to watch it. And Amalei, Ruvain says to Shimon, hav li zuzai. He comes back a little time later, and he says, okay, give me back my money. And Shimon, red-faced, says, Amalei, lo yadan hechos vino. I don't remember where I put your money. So we had this Gemara also earlier, and the Gemara there is quoting what we have here right now. Also coming to Rav, they went to Rav, the Pasuk and the Shaila, Amalei, Rav said, anytime you don't know where the money is, so then you're a poshea. Call lo yadana pshiusahi zil shleim. since you were a poshea. If you don't know where you hid the money, so then that's not called a good shmira. And therefore, by definition, you are considered negligent, you're a poshea, and Hashem Achinim, who's poshea, is chayev l'shalim, zil shalim, go and pay. Another mice to show you. How Gavra, the Afkid Zuze Gabi Chavri. Again, Ruvain goes and lends money to Shimon. He deposits money with Shimon. Ashleminu li'ime. What does Shimon do? He gives the money to his mom to go and watch it. So his mom is the shomeris now on this money. Now, he puts it, the mother goes and puts it, Ozvinu b'kartalisa. She goes and puts it in some sort of a container. Kartalisa, in the lazes of Rashi, which says it's an ashkara, says it's some sort of a sack, some sort of a container. So she puts it away in a container. She doesn't bury it in the ground. And then the igno, and it is stolen from this container that she put it into. Now, how do you pass this? Omar Rava. So he came to Rava to pass in the Shaila, and he says, Hechi nidaino dayone lahai dina. And Rava says, how should one paskin such a din? How should the judges go and paskin in this situation? And Rava goes through the thought process in his head. He tells it to us in the Gemara. Name alei lididei, do we go and tell this Shomer Chinam, this Shimon, Zil Shlein, go and watch it, because ultimately a good shmirah wasn't done. Well, guess what? You know what this Shomer Chinam is going to say? This Shimon is going to say, Amar, when we turn to Membeis, Amud Beis, he's going to say, Kol HaMavkid, Al Das Ishto, Bonavu Mavkid. Again, we had this Gemara earlier on Daf Lamed Vav. We said over there, and we say it again over here, that when Reuven gives something to Shimon to watch, yes, Shimon doesn't have a right to go give it to another Shomer. That's Moser, the Shomer, and he gives it to another Shomer, so then you don't have the right to do that. For the various reasons that we brought down the Gemara in Lamed Vav, we had two reasons. Bottom line is, that's to give it to another person, to give it to a different Shomer. But his wife and his children, they're considered like himself. So when Reuven gives something to Shimon, it's with the understanding that, yes, Shimon, you can't watch it 100% of the time. When you're not able to watch it, your wife or your adult children are going to go and watch it. Al-das ishto ubanav humafkid. And therefore, that is what Shimon can respond. Hey, I gave it to my mother. No, so then let's say to the mother, she's mechuyevus. Name alol ime. So let's go tell the mother, Rava says, zile shal ime. You should go and pay because you didn't watch it properly. So she can tie up very appropriately. Amr, she's going to respond and sell to us. No, lo amar li delav didei ninu. My son didn't tell me it was someone else's. I thought it was his. And therefore, you're giving your mother the money to hold on to, you don't think it's necessarily going to be something that she's going to go and bury. She's going to hold on to it because you may need it any moment. And therefore, if you had told me that it was somebody else's, you know what the mother would have said? Dak Birinu. I would have then gone and buried it. But you didn't tell me that. I thought it was your money. No, let's go back to the Shomer. So, Neymale, go back to the Shomer. Amailo Amislo, why didn't you tell your mother this was somebody else's money? And then she would have buried it. So, the Shomer very rightfully can go and say, Omar, he said, if I tell it to my mother it's somebody else's money, she's not going to watch it as carefully. If I tell her it's my own money, or I let her think it's my own money, she'll watch it much more carefully. So, Koshuke, the Kiamina law, Didi, Ninu, if I tell her it's my money, Tfe Mizdarabu, whose money is she going to watch more carefully than her own son's? So, therefore, I didn't tell her it was somebody else's money. So each of them has a valid claim, Rava says, and therefore we can't really go to the Shomer, we can't go to the Shomer's mother. No, what do you do? Rava has to paskin, Elam or Rava. Rava says, Mishtaba Ihu, you have to go and have the Shomer Chinam, Shimon, go and swear, Dahanu Zuze Ashleminu Lime, that he gave over these money, these coins, to his mother, and you have the mother swear, Mishtaba Ime, Dahanu Zuze Ozvinu Bekartelisa, that she in fact says that she put this money in this sack, in this chamber, in this chest, and it was stolen from there, the igno, and then upater, both of them will be potter, because each of them did what would be considered an appropriate shmirah based upon their circumstances, and therefore, unfortunately, Reuven is going to be the one that loses out over here, because each of these two shomrim, the Shimon who we gave it to, and Shimon's mother, have a valid time that they watched it appropriately. Another mice to show you. How apotropa, the once was an apotropos, that's the guardian for a Yisomim's estate. How apotropa, the Yasme, there was a guardian over the Yisomim's estate. The Zovan Luhu, Tura Liasme, and he went and bought an ox on behalf of the Yisomim, and he's not himself taking care of the ox. Umisare Libakra. And he gave it over to the guy who's in charge of the Bokar. He gives it over to a shepherd that will go and take care of this animal, feed the animal, pass to the animal, etc. And is doing this on behalf of the orphans, right? He's being paid for this. He's a shomer socher. This bakra is being paid to now watch the animal that the apotropos bought for the yisomim. However, this animal, lo habule koche vishine lemecha. This animal, unfortunately, couldn't eat. It needed a dentist desperately, and it didn't have the accoutrements necessary for eating, such as teeth. It didn't have teeth, and therefore koche vishine, or the like the gums and the teeth, to go and eat. So the animal died. Umes, it died because it wasn't able to eat. So now, what do we do? Who's chayiv in this situation? Amar Rami bar Chama, hechi nedayinu dayone lahaydina. So similar to what Rava just went through the mental calculations for us. So Rami bar Chama says, how is a judge supposed to adjudicate this case? And he goes through the step-by-step process that the judge would have to think through. Namely, le'apotropa, do we simply go to the apotropos and say, listen, you bought this lousy ox for the Yisomim, so you're chayiv to pay. You didn't do a good job. You were negligent, and therefore you're obligated to pay. Zil shlem, you go and pay the orphans. So the Gemara says, no. The opinion of Rami Bachama is that the apotropos can appropriately say, Omar, ana lebakra misarte. Hey, I'm not taking care of this ox myself. I gave it over to the shepherd. I gave it over to the bakra to go and feed this animal. So he's responsible, not me. No. So Rami Bachama says, Namalei lebakra, let's go to the bakra, the shepherd, and say, Zil shlem, you go and pay. So the shepherd has the valid right to say, Omar, nu, ana bahade ture ukimte. I'm not watching just one ox here. I got 30 oxen, and I put out enough food for 30 oxen to eat. So why is it my responsibility? Uchlosh adoyle, I gave it plenty of food to eat. Lavi adina glocha. How's I supposed to know that that ox wasn't eating? I'm watching many oxen. I gave it all food. It's not like there's only enough food for 10 oxen. There's more than enough food for all the 30 oxen that I'm watching, and therefore it's not my responsibility. So Rami Bar Chama says, if you go to the apotropos, he's going to give you a taina. If you go to the bakra, he's going to give you a taina. Someone says, Michti, Rami Bar Chama says, let's check this out. Bakra shom mesachar diasmihu. The bakra is a shom mesachar. The apotropos is a shom mechinam. The bakra is a shom mesachar. And therefore, iboya leli ayune. Bottom line is, it's not adequate for him to just throw out food for 30 oxen and say, listen, I can't watch each ox. No, you're a paid worker. You should have watched each ox to make sure that they're eating. And this ox, without the teeth and the gums, isn't able to eat. So you're ultimately responsible as a shomer socher. Shmuel says, no, you'd be 100% right if there was an actual loss. Eikub said that the Asmi Hohanami, if there was in fact a financial loss to the Yisomim, that they paid with their estate for this shor, and the shor died to a certain extent because of the negligence of this shomer socher, he didn't check to see that it was eating, so you're right. Then the bakra would have to go and pay the orphan's estate. He'd have to go and pay them for the loss of the shor. 100%, hochanami. However, that's not what happened over here. For hochamayaskin, in the case that Rami Bachama was adjudicating, the lekup said the yasmi. There was, in fact, no financial loss to the orphan because the apotropos went to the person he bought it from and said, mekach tos, the ashkhul amori de sora, vishoku yasmi zuze mine. The apotropos got back the money. He said, listen, I bought what I thought was a good ox from you. You sold me an ox that can't eat. So that ox isn't what I was buying. It's a mekach tos. And in fact, he got the money back from the person who sold him the ox. So therefore, the Yisomim aren't out any money over here. So then what's the taina? If the Yisomim got paid, then what did they come to Rami Bar Chama to adjudicate? Ella man kot toin. Who's asking this din Torah over here that they went to Rami Bar Chama? So Gemara says, more de tura katoin. The owner of the ox who sold this ox without the teeth is going to the din Torah asking Rami Bar Chama to get him his money back from the apotropos. He said, apotropos, you should have told the bakra that the animal has no teeth. Iboy lili odon. What says, what are you talking about? My modian lay. The apotropos is supposed to tell the bakra? The guy that sold it to him knows it doesn't have teeth. May the odda de mechach tosabe. The person who originally owned this ox that the apotropos bought it from knows that it doesn't have any teeth. So what do you say that he should have told, the apotropos should have told the bakra that it doesn't have teeth? Gemara says, no, the person who owns this ox who sold it actually didn't know that it didn't have teeth. He's Bisav Sira. He's a middleman. He bought this from somebody else, and he's selling it. He doesn't even have the ox necessarily in his possession. He doesn't have it there for a long time. He's a middleman. He goes and buys 10 oxen, and he goes and sells it to 10 different people. So he's the middleman. And therefore, the Zava Mehocha, he bought it from one person, and he sells it to the other person right away. It's not like he's been raising this ox since it was born. And therefore, the Safsira didn't really know that it didn't have teeth, and therefore, he's timing that the apotropos should have told the bakra. No, how do we pass in this situation? One of Muhammad said, Hilkach. The halach lemais is, Mishtaba Ihu, the person, the original owner, the Safsira, has to go and swear to love Yoda. That in fact he was a middleman and he didn't know that the axe didn't have any teeth. Umishalim Bakra, the Meibasa Bazol. And therefore, he has a right. The apotropos didn't know. He's giving it over to the Shomasacha, this Bakra. And therefore, the Bakra will have to ultimately pay back this Safsira for the ox, but he doesn't pay him full price. Umishalim Bakra, the Meibasa Bazol. Listen, nobody wants this animal that can't eat. So what are they going to do? They're going to shaft it right away. So if you shaft it right away, you're not waiting until the optimal time. You're not waiting until the season when they need meat. If you shaft it right now, they didn't have refrigeration. So you have to look at the buyers right now. Right down the middle of the week, the Tuesday, there's not necessarily going to be a lot of buyers. If you do it Erev Yom Tov, if you do it Erev Shabbos, there'll be much more buyers. So therefore, he goes and shafts it right away. And therefore, you only have to pay for the value of that lower value of the meat, so which is two-thirds of the regular course. That's called bas or bezol. We have that elsewhere. And therefore, the Bakra only has to pay two-thirds of the evaluation of the shor because he's going to go and shecht it now at a loss. And therefore, he only has to pay for the lower price of the meat and not the higher normal price. Okay, another mice to show you. How Gavra, the once was a person, Ruvain, the Afkid Kishusa Gabi Chavri. And he went and gave over to Shimon, his friend, to watch for him his Kishusa. That means hops, barley hops, making for beer. And Habalei Lidide Nami Karya de Kishusa. And Shimon himself had his own pile, his own Kirya of hops. So there are now two piles of hops here, one that belongs to Reuven and one that belongs to Shimon. And Amalei Lusarse, Shimon goes and tells his Sarse, that Rashi explains is La Asher Albeso Ha'osa Shechoshlo. That's the one who's going to take his hops and turn it into beer. And he tells him, Mehai Rami, go and take the hops from here and go make beer for me. Now, Shimon meant to go take his own hops and make the barley from them. But the sorcerer, this beer maker, Ozal Rama Meidach, he took Reuven's hops and made them into the beer. Amar Rav Amram, this case was then adjudicated, brought in front of Rav Amram, and he said, Hechi de dainu dayone laidino. What should a judge do in this case? And again, he goes through what he's thinking in his mind. He says it out loud. Neymar leli didei, should we go and tell Shimon this shomer chinom zil shalem, go and pay, because your sarsir basically took the wrong hops. So Reuven is out his hops, so you have to go pay for those hops. So Amar, Shimon can easily say to Reuven, ano amre le, my high rame, I told my sasir, go and take it from my hops. So why should I be held responsible when he took Reuven's hops? Let him go and make it up to Reuven. No. So the judge, Rav Amram, would say, we then go to this sarsir and say, hey, go and pay Reuven back for his hops. So name alel sarsay, zil shleim, go and tell this sarsir, go and tell this hop brewer, this person who Shimon had asked him to go make his beer for him, to go and pay Reuven for taking his misappropriating his hops. So Amar, so this Sarsay, he was going to go say, Lo Amar li mehai rame, or mehai lo tir me. He didn't say, oh, but Davke take these over here, meaning his own, and don't take Reuven's, meaning the other person's. He just told me, take from here. So I assume there ain't no difference whether I took the pile from Reuven or I took the pile from Shimon. So each of them has a taina. So what's the judge supposed to say? So the Gemara says, well, listen, why don't we see whether the two paws were equidistant to where he has to go? The E Dishor Shirli Suyele, let's say the pile of Reuven's hops would have taken him 20 minutes to get to the brewery, and the pile of Shimon's hops would only take him 10 minutes to get to the brewery. So listen, go and see. Did he delay or did he not delay in getting there? So if the E Dishor Shirli Suyele below Isile, if he waited the amount of time they should have been able to bring Shimon's hops over there, but instead he's not there yet, so then Gali Adaiti Denichle. So obviously Shimon doesn't mind that it took him longer to get it. He must have known that he's taking Reuven's hops and he didn't say anything, so therefore it is Shimon's responsibility. Shimon says, clearly we're talking about Bedeloshah. It took the same amount of time. It's not like one took 20 minutes, one took 10 minutes. They both would have taken 5 or 10 minutes to get there. So you couldn't tell whether he was delayed because he took Reuven's hops or he was delayed because he took Shimon's hops. No, it would be the exact same amount of time. New to the bottom line, the Gemara says, Sof, my psay the ika, v'ha ka mishtar shile. Why is there a loss over here? Okay, so Shimon now has beer that's produced instead of from his own hops, it's from Reuven's hops. So return his own hops to the Reuven, to the person who gave him the hops in the first place, and everybody's happy. Reuven has hops back, and Shimon has beer. So Gemara says, no, because two possible answers. Amar Rav Sama Brei the Rava, the Havi Shichra Chala, because Reuven's hops weren't as good as Shimon's hops. So therefore, he has a beard that's not as good. And in fact, Rashi explains that it was Hichmitz. It was a poorer quality of hops. And now he doesn't really have good beer. He has spoiled beer. He has vinegary beer. And therefore, he's at a loss. And therefore, he's unhappy that they used Reuven's hops instead of his own hops. He can't just give Shimon, Shimon can't just give Reuven Shimon's hops, because then Shimon will have lost out. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two, Rav Ashi Amar Bekise. You know what we're talking about over here? There are thorns. Rashi says, Shaisa Kishos Gerua Vikotsin Uravimba, that Reuven's hops had all these thorns mixed in with it, and now when you're making beer, the beer has thorns inside of it, and nobody's going to want to buy it. And therefore, it's not as good a product, and that is why, and we turn to Mem Gimel and Aleph, He has to go and pay. This Shomer Chinam, Shimon, has to go and pay Reuven, the original owner of the hops that he deposited him, the price of these inferior hops. Meshalim le demei kisei, the price of these hops, as Rashi says, demei kisha shokotsim lefim mashish biach. No, whatever it now is worth. So he has to, let's say his beer, he does have beer now, so the hops would have been worth originally $10, but the beer is worth $2 more. So he's benefited $2 by using those hops. So he does have to pay him for the benefit that he got, but he doesn't have to pay him for the original value of the hops. So the total sum that the shomer would have to go and pay would be $2 and not the $10. Meshalim le dumei kisei, how much the value of those hops improved his beer. And therefore, that's what he has to pay, but he doesn't have to pay for the actual full amount of the hops. And with this, we conclude today's shiur.